ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch?
Well, joining us to look at film and TV this week, Wenlei Ma, our critic at large and culture editor at The Nightly. Wenlei, good evening. Welcome back to Mad Life.
Thank you. Hi.
So, on the cards now, we've got The Taste of Things out in cinemas next week, The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling. Hey, hey. And we've got Baby Reindeer, which is a Netflix show, which a lot of people really like. Okay, let's start with The Taste of Things. What's this?
This is a French movie which was actually a little bit controversial only because it got caught up in the internal politics of the French film industry because this was selected as France's official entry into the Oscars international feature race. And so instead of Anatomy of a Fall, which was actually nominated for 5 Oscars on its own accord, and The Taste of Things didn't make it into the Oscars finalist. Well, the nominations list. It was a short list, which is when they whittle it down to 15, but they didn't get the actual nom. And so it got caught up in this like, well, you know, the industry body who selects this clearly don't know what they're doing because why wouldn't you nominate Anatomy of a Fall? But really, I think in that debate, what gets overlooked is The Taste of Things is actually a really good movie and it won Best Director at Cannes last year. So it's not without merit. It's not like some strange pick of, you know, a bunch of tastemakers gone rogue. This is a historical drama, a historical romance, really. It's set in the 19th century. It's based on a book from the 1920s. And it is delicious. So do not go to this on an empty stomach. Or if you do, make sure you have a booking right afterwards at a bistro or a brasserie. Because the first 30 minutes of this movie is 3 people cooking. They're cooking this elaborate. Well, I mean, it's elaborate to me because it's so many ingredients go into it. So, you know, you're not sticking something in the microwave and just hitting 3 minutes and letting it stand for a minute. But it is like, you know, chicken poached with truffles. It's a vol-au-vent with seafood, a baked Alaska. It is so painstakingly carefully crafted. And you watch it for 30 minutes. You watch butter being scooped on top of something over and over again. And there is no way you don't walk out of that going, oh my God, I want like a scallop quenelle or something. You want something French. But because like it makes sense that the movie takes so much care into crafting this 30-minute sequence of cooking because it is about a slow burn romance. It's about the patience of something. And so you've got these two characters played by Juliette Binoche and Benoît Magimel. He's a gourmand and she is his cook. They, you know, they kind of hook up every now and then and he's been trying to marry her for 20 years and she keeps turning him down. And so it is a little bit like a romance in the autumn of their lives, and which is mirrored in this incredible passion they have for cooking and for food and for nourishment and for doing things in the time that it takes to do them.
But hang on. So Juliette Binoche, her ex-partner is Benoît Magimel.
Yes.
So in real life.
In real life.
And in this movie, he's trying to hit on her again.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they met on a movie about 25 years ago. They have a child together. They broke up about 20 years ago and like have barely spoken to each other despite having this kid together. And now they're playing lovers in a film. And I don't know if it's
Is this very French?
It's a very French thing, I think. I was like, I don't really know anyone else who would do it. Can you imagine if Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt ever did that again? They just wouldn't.
No.
But I don't know if it's a matter of knowing that about them, that you kind of see this really sort of familiar chemistry between them as like two people who know each other's bodies, who know each other's energies. It's just like in these small gestures. It's a really kind of, I mean, not kind of. It's a really romantic movie, but it's not overt or obvious in any way. It's not overwrought. It's not like, oh, you know, swoony or anything. It's actually very sophisticated and adult and in some ways practical and recognizable.
Yes, well, the French have always been practical about these matters. They have always been. As I say, Juliette Binoche plays a self-effacing 19th century cook where she co-stars alongside her ex-partner, Benoît Magimel. Here's an interview with Juliette Binoche, esteemed, renowned, regaled French actor, the French actor of
her
generation.
Of her generation.
Exactly. where she talks about acting with her ex.
Being in his presence, there was it lifted something in ourselves, you know, and the fact to be able to say, you know, I love you no matter what happened. It's wonderful to work with. We didn't need to say that, but we could feel each other's, you know, the way we enjoyed working together. And it felt like a sort of a gift, not only to us, but also to our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that sweet?
She is pretty marvelous. What was I rewatching recently? The English Patient.
And she's fantastic in The English Patient.
And she was amazing. Yeah.
She won an Oscar for that, I think.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's an amazing film, but she was. Oh, it just reminded me of just how extraordinary she was.
Yeah.
She is.
And she still works a lot, which is a gift to us.
Exactly. The Taste of Things is out in the pictures next week. Is that right? Yes.
Might be this week.
No, this week.
It's
out this week.
Yeah, it's out this week.
Here we go. Here is a little, we don't have a little thing. Oh, I just played the little thing for it. Okay. Stars for The Taste of Things?
3.5 stars.
3.5. Okay. Very good. Now, here's the thing. The American action comedy film The Fall Guy. It's got Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. And it's in the pictures now, yes?
Correct.
Tell us about this.
This is the movie that was filmed in Sydney. And I remember walking through Sydney one Sunday afternoon and in the CBD, half of very main road, Elizabeth Street, was blocked off and there were cops and private security, all these cordons, and they were like, move on, it's just a production. And I was like, well, there is only one production in town who can afford to shut off half of the CBD, even on a Sunday.
I think he shut off the Harbour Bridge, didn't
they
he?
They shut off the Harbour Bridge. They shut off the Sydney Opera House. They shut off one of the motorways as well. So it all comes out in the movie. And so the great thing about that is actually they are filming in Sydney for Sydney. So often we get Sydney that becomes a backdrop to things that they try to cheat and make it seem like it's Chicago or New York or something. This is Sydney for Sydney.
Oh, okay.
Which is really nice if you're a Sydney sider, because then you recognize all these things. And also, personally, I think they made much better use of it than that rom-com that also filmed in Sydney for Sydney, Anyone But You, which was terrible. But The Fall Guy is, you know, it is based off it's inspired by the 1980s TV show with Lee Majors. And it is about a stuntman who gets caught up in this weird convoluted plot. So he was a very successful stuntman. He had an accident and then sort of left the business. And about a year and a half later, a producer that he used to work with, who the producer that works with the actor he most frequently doubled for, calls him and says, the director needs you. We're shooting in Sydney. Please come. The director happens to be played by Emily Blunt, who he is in love with. It's his ex-girlfriend. And then there's like this weird plot where he has to go and try and find the leading man, the actual actor, because he's missing. And if he doesn't show up, then her movie is ruined. What this movie actually is at its core is it's a rom-com. Like, it is an action comedy. It's got all these great stunts because the director is David Leitch, who was a stuntman for 20 years, including for Brad Pitt. And, you know, he made like John Wick. He made Atomic Blonde. He made a lot of things that have lots of complicated practical stunts. But really at the core, it is a rom-com between these two characters that Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt play. And they have really, really fun chemistry. It's very screwball. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it would be hyperbolic if I said there was a touch of the Hepburn and Tracy about them, but I found them very charismatic and winning. And also, he's not just like another 80s, 90s action hero, which what the movie is sort of throwing back to. Mm-hmm. He's not like this tough guy, the apotheosis of masculinity. This is a character that cries like 3 times in the movie. He wears all of his feelings on his sleeve. He's very sensitive. And also, ultimately, yes, he wants to get the girl back, but he's actually doing everything to save her career. Like, that's a really interesting modern take on what a masculine action hero is.
Okay. Let's listen to Emily's, as I say, Ryan Gosling plays Colt Seavers, he's a stuntman, and Emily Blunt is Jodie Moreno, who's Colt's ex-girlfriend and a first-time director. Let's take a listen to the two of them here.
Why are you here?
I think there's been a misunderstanding.
Clearly.
Because I was under the impression that you did want me here.
That's a delusional thought. We haven't spoken in a year.
I'm happy for you. whole director thing looks good on you. Even the gardening hat, somehow.
Everyone wears them. It's like a set thing. Okay?
Yeah, I see it. They're not making you look as good as you are, that's all. And I'm not trying to be flat. I'm just saying the facts. But you look good in everything. You look good in nothing, whatever. No, I don't mean
really?
It like that.
This
you do look good in nothing.
This isn't going to work.
You do, but it's not what I'm...
It's fun.
I don't mean it like that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a blockbuster. It's a good time. And I think some of the stunts are very impressive. And I think Ryan Gosling is very fully into his goofy, charming era. Like, we all know he can do comedy really well. He did The Nice Guys. He obviously did Barbie. And I want to see Ryan Gosling being funny. Like, that's how I want to spend a couple of hours.
Nine Media gave it 1.5 stars.
I think it's a little harsh,
okay.
Personally.
All fizzle and no sizzle, they said.
I did read that review, and that reviewer thought they had no chemistry, which I thought was wild. But you know what? It's subjective. You are, of course, entitled to your own opinion. I'm sure I've given things 1.5 stars that other people loved.
What are you going to give it?
3.5.
3.5. Okay. There you go. Winlay's not very far from the mark ever. So, all right. Now, Baby Reindeer, this is a Netflix show.
Yeah, this is really interesting, and chances are you've probably already seen it or you know about 10 people who have seen it because it came out about 2 weeks ago or about 3 weeks ago, and then it was very quiet to start with, and then all of a sudden it just started really popping off. I saw it all over social media. People were obsessed with it, and I think, you know, I had a very quick look at what it was about, and originally I'm like, you know what, another true crime show about somebody who had a crazy stalker. It's not my vibe. I don't want to subject myself to it. But then one of my friends said to me, no, it's a really different show to what you think it is, and you have to get to episode 4. It is a 7-episode series. Mm-hmm. So it is written and created by and stars a British comedian called Richard Gadd, and he adapted it from a 2016 and a 2019, I think 2019, maybe 2020. He adapted from two of his own stand-up shows. And this is part of that genre of like very confessional comedy that's really quite dark, quite traumatic. It's essentially them processing their traumas. And I'm thinking of shows like I May Destroy You is very similar in that way. So he, in the show, he's a bartender at a pub, and this woman becomes fixated with him. She becomes this insane stalker that sends him like 80 emails a day, hours and hours of voicemail messages. And it's really distressing and anxiety, like, inducing in that way. But what the show actually is about, and I don't think it's really a spoiler, is that it is a way to look at the complexities of how people react from trauma. Because what's happened to him in the past is he was sexually assaulted by someone else in the industry. So he's an aspiring comedian in the show as well. And he had this relationship with a successful comedy writer who, you know, drugged him and assaulted him. And so that's left this very deep mark on him, and it affects how he reacts to her. Because he does things that you kind of think logically, well, that's inexplicable. That's your stalker. Why are you engaging with her? Why are you showing her some empathy when she's making your life a living hell? But what is now also very interesting about Baby Reindeer, other than the fact that it is an incredibly well-written and well-performed show, is that it's now kicked off all this discourse around true crime. So Gad and Netflix have, you know, had come out and said originally they had made so many changes to the characters that it may not even resembled their real life counterparts. So he had said at one point, you know, she might not the real life Martha, the stalker, might not even recognize that she is this person that's being portrayed. Although sometimes you have to go, well, how many people have you stalked? So if you've stalked Richard Gadd, you probably think that's you. And so that set off a lot of online sleuths who have like dug through every single thing on the internet to name and allegedly or supposedly shame these people that they think he is the real life counterparts. And, you know, there are now threats of defamation lawsuits. Richard Gadd has come out and said, please don't try and speculate on who these real life people are. One woman has come out and said that she is the Martha in the show and that it's not at all what happened. So there's like a lot of thorniness that's gone into it. And, you know, you do get people who say this show should never have been made because now it's kicked off this other cycle of trauma for some people who are vulnerable. And I do think there is a lot of value in telling stories like this in terms of especially where the storyteller is processing their own trauma. This is something that happened to him and he should be allowed to make a story about it. And I think, you know, the British defamation laws are quite similar to Australian ones in that they are pretty strict. So it would be hugely negligible if they didn't go through the legal rigmarole of disguising these real life people. But it does bring up this question of, like, you can't stop the online sleuthing. So are we ever allowed to tell our own stories anymore, even in a fictionalized form?
Here's a scene from it. The character of Martha is heckling Donnie during his comedy set.
I miss you.
I miss you too, random stranger.
I'm not a random stranger. I'm your ex. Don't be so cruel. Who's that girl you were talking about just then? Is that Keely? From your Facebook?
No, it's a little thing called fiction, actually. Just so you know, when you watch Game of Thrones, those aren't real dragons. You do realise that.
I don't know why they're all laughing. You're absolutely shite.
Okay, just to give you some context, ladies and gentlemen, this is Martha, my stalker. Say hello to Martha.
Don't you dare say that to me!
It's really intense.
It's intense, isn't it?
It's super intense. You do kind of feel like you need a palate cleanser afterwards, like, you know, an episode of Great British Bake Off or something.
Thoughts on Baby Randy for stars?
Four stars.
Four stars. Okay, that good. Alrighty, there we go. The Taste of Things, The Fall Guy and Baby Randy at Wayne Lay. Always great.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.